The notion that any man had only to clap his hands to have a canal dug, or a whole continent summoned teeming into arms, was, to the Athenians, profoundly alien and alarming. The city had a distaste for looking up to any leader. The automatic reflex of the Athenian aristocracy, whenever confronted by a tall poppy, had always been to reach for a scythe. For people do not find it pleasant to honour someone else. They suppose that they are then being deprived of something themselves. Certainly, rivalries among the elite remained as carnivorous and unforgiving as they had been prior to the establishment of the democracy. Even the towering figure of Miltiades had been speedily dragged down to his ruin. In 489 BC, barely a year after saving his city from annihilation, he had suffered a wound while leading an expedition against a city of collaborators in the Aegean and had been obliged to return to Athens, his reputation in sudden tatters. The Alcmenids unleashed an ambitious young politician named Xanthippus, who brought a prosecution against Miltiades, accusing him, with typical effrontery, of deceiving the Athenian people. Miltiades had duly been convicted and voted a crippling fine. Not so crippling, however, as the gangrene that finished him off for good. Yet, if the Athenian people had been content to see the great Miltiades humbled, that hardly spelt enthusiasm for his rivals. 2 years after the death of Miltiades, citizens began flocking into the Agora, where a large voting pen had been erected especially for the day, with officials carefully scrutinizing all those who passed through it to ensure that no man voted twice. By the 10 entranceways, one for each tribe, lay piles of broken pottery. Each Athenian, as he bent to pick up a shard, knew that he was laying claim to a feared and fearsome right. Once, in the time before the democracy, exile had been a fate inflicted by armed menaces at the whim of faction leaders, ruinous and brutal in its effects. Now, for the first time, it was to be imposed as a measured sentence of the sovereign people. Every citizen, registering his vote on the back of a piece of pottery, was obliged to choose a prominent politician's name. At the end of the day, all the shards, ostraca, as the Greeks called them, were to be sorted into piles and counted. The citizen with the largest number of nominations would then have 10 days to leave Attica. He would not, as exiles had once done, suffer the loss of his property or his civic rights, but nor for 10 years would he be permitted to return home. He was to remain, as the Athenians put it, ostracized. This, a deadly weapon against the ambitions of any overmighty family, had remained untested in the democracy's arsenal ever since Cleisthenes had first provided for it 20 years before. That the Athenians had voted to unleash it in the aftermath of Miltiades' downfall suggests how resolved they were not to become the patsies of feuding clans. A people who had seen off the great king certainly no longer felt obliged to live in the shadow of turbulent aristocrats. First to be cleared from the deck was Hipparchus. The following year, 486 BC, it was the turn of an Alcmenid to get the push. 2 years later, Xanthippus was dispatched.